How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And as we again view Jesus this evening, we are reminded of that great and glorious love in our Savior. Amen. The portion of God's Word for our encouragement, our building up this evening, is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. We read, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, pay attention. Satan has asked to have you all, so that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." This is God's Word. In the name of Christ, our Savior, who has loved us perfectly and beautifully, my dear fellow redeemed brothers and sisters in Christ. Every October or November, it's a familiar scene. It's so familiar to us, we almost don't even notice that it's happening, as the combines are out in the fields all day long doing what they do for the harvest. It's such a familiar scene that we almost begin to take for granted the technology that is taking place and the miracle that is taking place. As the combine is going through and picking the beans, as they come through the grain platform, it separates the bean from the rest of the plant so that the beans are kept and the plant is falling behind. The chaff is left in the field. It is all being sifted. We almost forget the miraculous event taking place in November when the corn is being picked and the kernel is being separated from the plant and being brought into the combine and the rest of the plant is left behind like the chaff. That's what the Lord is talking about here when he talks about separating the chaff from the wheat. But we take it for granted what is taking place because it happens so often and it seems to be so simple. But the fact is, that isn't how it happened in Bible times. In Bible times, they didn't have quite so much technology. As they gathered in the wheat, they gathered in the entire plant and they took it to the threshing floor, and then the farmer with a fork would throw it up and down all day long. And the chaff would blow away and the wheat would fall on the threshing floor, throwing it up and down to sift the chaff from the wheat. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, pay attention. Satan has asked to have you all so that he may sift you as wheat." Pay attention, Simon. Why Simon? Why Peter? When Jesus is speaking these words here, he's talking about how Satan wants to sift all of the disciples as wheat. He wants all of them. He wants to take them away from their Savior. He wants to drive them away from their God. He wants them to be completely overwhelmed by sorrow, grief, and guilt, and turn away from their Lord. Why does he talk to Peter about this? Think of how often Peter has shown himself to be that disciple who talks a lot. He had an attitude and a spirit and a character where he was willing to say what he wanted to say. The problem for Peter is it wasn't always the right thing to say, but often it was. And because Peter had that type of personality, he seems to be that natural-born leader who became the natural leader of the disciples that many of them leaned on, looked to, and allowed to speak for them. And now Jesus, in a loving warning, a word of encouragement, because he knew Peter so well. He knew his disciples so well. He wanted him to understand what Satan wanted more than anything else. Satan has asked to sift you all. Powerful words, especially when we consider the context or the setting when Jesus offered this word of warning. They were in the upper room. But what's interesting in the Gospel of Luke is right before Jesus offered this encouragement and this warning, the disciples had an argument. They began arguing among themselves and with each other about which one of them was the greatest. Think about that. On the evening that our Lord Jesus was betrayed and handed over, on the night before he died for the carrying the sin of the world, these disciples were arguing about which of them was the most important, which of them was the greatest. It certainly shows, doesn't it, where their focus was? That their focus wasn't on their Lord, their Savior. It was more on themselves. And then you can almost picture the argument happening. No doubt they were trying to prove their point. I'm the greatest because I did this. I'm the greatest because I took the time to do this. And then, in trying to argue that one is the greatest, to accomplish it and make their point, they probably put the others down. I did this. You never did that. You didn't even think of doing that. I spend time with him here. Where were you? So as they were arguing and debating, the root problem revealed is that they weren't focused on Jesus. They were forgetting what true service was all about. They were getting caught up in themselves. Satan was beginning to have a foothold. And Jesus reminded Simon, Satan has asked to have you all, to sift you as wheat. The people who are the most precious to the Lord Jesus and closest to Christ are the ones that Satan works the most diligently to take away from Christ. And Satan wanted nothing more than to crush the disciples, to get them to think that they could handle things on their own and be strong enough to endure so that they wouldn't sense a need for Jesus to be their strength and deliver them. Satan wanted them to become caught up in self-glory so that there would be dissension among the disciples and they would be more concerned about themselves and that they would become frustrated, irritated, angry, and fail to trust. Satan wanted them to break so that they would be afraid, worried, and have doubts. Isn't that how the devil operates? Think of what he did in the Old Testament with Job, approaching God and seeking an opportunity to try to destroy Job with the difficulties and the temptations he experienced. Why? Because Job was so close to God. Or maybe you remember how the Apostle Paul, the Lord's great missionary, a recipient of God's grace, was tormented by that thorn in his flesh to knock him down, which he called a messenger of Satan to torment me. Satan was working on Paul, trying to get him to doubt God's grace and God's power. Satan wanted nothing more than to take the disciples away from the Lord. And the reality is, Satan wants to sift each one of us as wheat. He wants us to become chaff and fall away from our God. Satan will hit us constantly with temptation that is like the fork into the wheat, throwing us up and down, tossing us around, trying to get us to worry, trying to get us to doubt God's grace, trying to get us to focus on ourselves, trying to get us to despair, trying to get us to think we are so self-sufficient, we just don't need to be into the Word of God. We just don't need to rely on Jesus. He is working, and it is real, to try to sift all of God's people as wheat. But this is the crucial hour. This was the crucial hour for Jesus. He would soon be going to the cross for these disciples, for Peter who denied him, for the disciples who would desert, for all of the people who shouted out for his death by crucifixion, for the people he came to save and yet pushed him away. This was the crucial hour for our Lord to go to the cross, and this is the crucial hour for us. Because we, who are so tempted and fall so often, have a Savior who went to the cross with each one of us in mind, for the world and for us as individuals, by taking away our sin and being our strength. We are reminded of the comfort and the power in these words when Jesus told Peter, "When you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." Peter, who would deny, would also be restored. Isn't that grace? You and I are recipients of that grace, which means this is our crucial hour. Not just because we're spending an hour tonight during the season of Lent in God's house. Every moment we are drawing breath and living, it is our crucial hour, because we are living in the grace of God, in the certainty of having sin and guilt removed forever, in the certainty of triumph over the grave, because Jesus lives. This is our crucial hour. And he told Peter, "When you are restored, I'm going to use you. You're going to be a rock to your brothers. You're going to strengthen people. You're going to be used as an instrument to take the Word of God out to a world that needs it." This is our crucial hour because the Lord uses you and me. He has us here as his redeemed children for a purpose and a reason. Our purpose is to glorify God and serve him. And what a privilege that is, because he served us first by saving us. Our purpose is to serve one another in love, to encourage each other. Our purpose is that when Satan is trying to sift us as wheat, we remember where our strength is found and we rest on the Word of God and he holds us up. This is our crucial hour as we see Jesus stronger than Satan and triumphant for us. Why Peter? Because God is good. Why us? Because God is good. His love is rich, it is real, it is undeserved, and it is made known on the cross. Amen.